Well, good morning and welcome. This is Pastor Doug here at First Congregational Church Woodstock. Glad to be with you as we look together to God's Word. Let's pray for as we begin. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness and grace to us. Lord, thank you for your mercy. We pray that you would help us. That each of us recognize our own desperate need for you and for us together as a people, for this particular congregation of people that you've called to yourself here in the Upper Valley. Lord, that we together would recognize our need for you, our need for you to work in us, to enable us to love one another, our need for you, Lord Jesus, to be the only way through whom we can come to the Father. Lord, we pray that you would help us, lead us and direct us, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So in our Taken Gathered Worship home for this morning, I've got us looking at two Psalms, 122 and 134. I'm just going to read the first of those for us now. And again, the Taken Gathered Worship home is designed to be something that you can do in just 5 minutes, or you can do in 2 hours, depending on your own time and schedule and what you're able to do. So I'm not trying to deal exhaustively with any of even a part of that. I'm just wanting us to look together and begin our day looking for God's guidance. So this is from Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For their thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. So in this psalm, it's one of what's called the songs of ascents, and ascending, that is going up, was what these psalms were used for. These particular psalms of ascents, starting with Psalm 120, and then going throughout 134. Were used as the songs for God's people to sing as they went up to Jerusalem, and particularly in the times of the festivals, right? The annual gatherings when the people that were all spread out among the land, the promised land of Israel, would gather together. They would go leave their home and village and go up to Jerusalem, and there the people of God all together would participate in festivals like what we're seeing in Acts of Pentecost, right? That's one of the things of why when Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit among his people that are gathered there, and they begin to speak of the things of God, and particularly how Jesus is the resurrected Messiah, that there were people there, not just from Jerusalem, and even not just from Israel, but from all the diaspora, right? All the places where the Israelites had gone and were living in foreign lands, but they would come back to Jerusalem for things like the Feast of Pentecost. And so they were hearing the things of God in their native language, having grown up in places other than the Promised Land. So these songs of ascents would be those things that they would start singing. And there's a progression from Psalm 120 to 134 as they they first start out and are on their way, and then now in this Psalm 122 that we find coming to Jerusalem, right? That they've been on their way, they've been walking to Jerusalem, and now here they are. And so it's particularly good for us to look at this in the context of Stephen, right, explaining the history of God's people, the summary of the redemption of God's people. Because as they sing these songs, right, of coming into Jerusalem, the way that they had interpreted those things and lived out those things was a Jerusalem-centric view that saw Jerusalem as this holy place, but this place that was wholly theirs, right? And we're given to this kind of nostalgia all the time in thinking about the blessings that God has given us and having it be things that yes, they're wonderful and that we enjoy them, but that we enjoy them as ours without the sense biblically that we should have of stewardship, of these are things of God's that He has allowed us to enjoy, but that we are to enjoy them not just for ourselves, but to enjoy them in God, right? That it's not us focused, it's God focused, and to enjoy them in light of who God is, to praise Him for it, to have gratitude to Him for these blessings that He's entrusted to us, but also to enjoy those for Him and His sake, His glory, with a view to how do we bless others with the blessings that God has given to us. And so it is with this song in Psalm 122 that going up, and there's this unusual language, right, of that we our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem that is built as a city compact together. You know, what is going on, right? And I think of that movie that is an architect, and he's taking his loved one through the city of Chicago that he grew up in, and as an architect's son, and as an architect himself, right, he's marveling at all the architecture, right? And so this is not an architect's geek fest, right, where it's just like, oh, look at all this architecture and this wonder, you know. What it's getting at is the same thing that when Jesus takes his disciples into Jerusalem, and these folk, his disciples who were fishermen, who were, you know, the town folk that didn't get into Jerusalem much, right? They're amazed. They're looking at all of this stuff with the temple and whoa, and just you know, it's not just that, right? This is a place that has been designed for the supernatural, for the meeting with God. And more than that, as we've been looking at, right, it's not just that you might come in and have an existential experience, that you might have a supernatural experience with the divine and then go back to life as usual. No, this is Jerusalem that God Himself has designed to, yes, bring us into relationship with Him, but it's a relationship with Him that is lasting, that we are coming not to visit Yahweh, we are coming to dwell with God Most High. And so, talking about going to Jerusalem, singing about these things, this is the place, right, where the tribes will go up, the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance of Israel. These are the things that God has not only provided, but ordered us to come to. And what is it that He's ordered us to come to? To give thanks to the name of the Lord, right? How we're seeing in Acts this whole thing of calling Abraham and pulling him out of all the nations, of gathering to Himself a people, unique, holy, set apart to the Lord. Why? Just so that they'll feel special, right? This is what God has done to help your self-image. No. God has gathered us to himself that we might worship him. It's not about you. It's not about me. And yet so much of everything that we do, even in our worship, the theologians today talk about the consumerism of worship. Ooh, I like that song. Ooh, I like that music. Ooh, this pastor's good. I like his message. Oh, he uses humor. I like that. Oh, they've got a great nursery here. Oh, that we think of all of those things with consumers' eyes. That we've been trained by our culture to look at everything like we're on Amazon.com. But that's not what's going on here. And what's going on here is actually the antidote, the help to rip us out of that very self-centered view of everything by viewing God as he truly is. All this other stuff falls away. All these paltry, tiny things in comparison with God himself, right? That's what Jerusalem is designed to be and do, to bring us into his presence with a view to dwelling there with him and being undone with the glory and majesty of God. For the thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. This need for justice. Right now in our country, we're dealing with this need for justice and decrying injustice, right? And it's the cutting thing, right? Part of why we have this dichotomy of people on vast sides shouting at one another is because we need justice for the George Floyds, right? We need justice for those who have been horribly wronged, right? Through the police, the government, the establishment, all of those things. But we also need justice for those who have been wronged by the masses, right? The shop owner whose entire life savings and business has been destroyed because of looters that are just running wild. See, the piece of what the scripture is getting at is that God is a God of justice, and he has set up thrones for judgment, that he will provide justice. And then it goes on to say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. See, it's not just pray for Jerusalem to have peace. No. It's understanding that peace, real peace, comes from Jerusalem. It is Jerusalem's peace that we're to pray for, not just for Jerusalem to experience. Certainly it needs to experience it. But that peace of Jerusalem would be what goes all throughout the world. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they who love you, God, prosper. May the peace be within your walls, Jerusalem, certainly, and prosperity within your palaces. But that's always with a view to that peace and prosperity of God's people in his sacred city, being then the instruments that are going out to all the ends of the earth and spreading that peace in speaking the truth in love. Beloved, this is one of those things. I was reading an article of not allowing the fear of COVID become divisive in the church. And we've run smack from that to all of the civil unrest and all of these things, right? We've got social justice warriors on one side and folks saying, no, what we need is law and order on the other side. Beloved, do you understand that what we desperately need is the rule and reign of the King, who is the only one who can bring justice? And we need that peace within the people of God, within this Jerusalem, where God has made his name to dwell here in Woodstock, that our congregation, with all of our differences, different political views, different ideas, different all kinds of experiences, that we need to love one another and then be, and not then as in sequentially, but simultaneously, love our neighbors as ourselves. This peace of Jerusalem, this peace of Yahweh, this peace brought by Christ is what we so desperately need. Who here in our congregation do you need to reconcile with? Who do you need to pray with and for? Who is hard for you to listen to because their views are so different than yours? Hey, those views are important. It's not that I'm saying that those don't matter. But what matters far more is our love for one another, is our willingness to recognize, brother, sister, you are completely different than I am in all these different ways, and yet we're the same. We're made in the image of God. And if you are trusting in Christ, then you're redeemed by Jesus just as I am. And so we need to learn how to love one another, how to build on this relationship that we have in Christ. And that peace, right? That's what Jesus is talking about in John 17, is praying, "Oh Lord, oh Father, you have made us one. Make them one as well." And in that unity, not a unity that we build by human hands, a unity that we have only in Christ, may we love one another, and through that love, may the world know that we are His and that He is God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness and grace to us. We pray that you would help us to recognize our own sin, to recognize the ways in which we want to personalize Jerusalem and have it be things that make us feel better. Lord, help us to see you. To see you as you truly all are, in all of your majesty, in all of your glory, in all of your justice. And that we would be like you, Lord Jesus, following the leading of your Spirit. Make us more and more loving vessels for one another and for our neighbors, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Sorry I went over, but may God bless you throughout the day. All right. Bye-bye.